You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcast, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for February 12th, 2021. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the world headquarters of the Cornfield Resistance, the Midwest's premier judicial thinking place, it's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Nebraska isn't alone in being such a premier judicial thinking place.
I didn't mean to throw all that kind of legal mumbo jumbo at you right at the top to confuse people. You know, maybe a third year law student would understand that.
But. Yeah, exactly. And also, don't forget, it was Antifa. So, really my judicial reasoning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sitting out here. It's a thinking place, which sounds like a book from the 60s.
It does. For hippie children.
Like the Giving Tree. The Giving Tree grows in the thinking place.
Oh, my gosh.
And eventually it all gets chopped down and used up and nobody cares about it anymore.
Well, we want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day on Sunday. Happy Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year. Mm-hmm. I want to wish Drift Glass a happy anniversary. Not marriage. We got married in August, we met for the first time 13 years ago. This coming week at a Shakespeare sister meetup in Chicago.
In Evanston.
It was February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. Yeah. It was at an Irish pub.
They had
set aside the conference room in the basement. And we sat around with a lot of other fans of Shakespeare sister and blog fans. And I think there were some of your fans there. I was there. I was a fan of yours.
And vice versa.
And you and I sat, you plopped yourself right next to me and you didn't leave the whole night. You sat right next to me the whole evening.
Hello. I'm familiar with your work. I very much enjoy your work. I've talked to you in the salon. Perhaps you could get a bite to eat outside of the company of these dregs and interfering scum. And you said, yeah, sure, whatever. Let's go.
Yeah.
It was a fine evening. It was one of the original blogger ethics panels, I think.
Ever
was convened in the world. A long time ago, blogging. Blogging has a long history, and so do we.
And so do we. 13 years we've known each other.
Yeah. And I'm gonna use
that's we knew each other. Like you said, we knew each other online for like 3 or 4 years before that. So
we did, and we were like very, I think, very respectful and appreciative of each other's work.
Yeah,
which is
that was the point. Yeah. Yeah, we really liked each other's writing. I think so.
And I thought you were cute.
Thought I was cute, and I thought you were cute too. You were very handsome. Anyway, we're very happy together, and wish everybody much happiness and stay warm. It's bitter cold here.
Yeah.
One of our listeners from the old days, Drift Glass.
Old days.
Perhaps you remember the name Zombie Rotten McDonald.
I recall. Many times he's visited my comment section and left a coaching comment. Yes.
Well, he wrote us a letter, and he lives up in the north country of the Midwest, in that Wisconsin area.
Up in the Snowpiercer area.
Area, exactly. And he wrote us and he said, I live on a corner lot. And we are at an age where our children have graduated, and we're now to the point where we can't get our kids to shovel snow anymore. So he got a nifty little rechargeable electric snowblower.
Oh, cool.
And it doesn't spew toxins. It's about as loud as a large vacuum cleaner, he says. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Cleaning out the couple 3 inches from last night, I discovered that Pro-Left Podcast was the perfect length for shoveling snow.
That's what we've been shooting for. That interval, that's the perfect podcast interval. This is what we teach in our podcast class. So, yeah.
As I was finishing up the front steps, you guys were finishing up your show. So from here on out, when the Professional Left Podcast finishes, I'm done clearing snow. It's axiomatic.
Yeah. Oh, we're screwed come spring when the snow goes away and there's nothing for him to listen to.
Oh, no. It'll be, as he said, chop wood, carry water, shovel snow. Yeah. So, you know, there will always be activities to do while you're listening to podcasts. But thank you, Zombie Rotten McDonald. We appreciate your letter and glad to know that you are removing snow up there safely. It's going to be, you know, well below zero for much of the Midwest this weekend and next week. And we want everybody to stay safe.
We have a you have a coworker who pointed out that the temperature for the next couple of weeks is going to be what, Blue Gal?
8675309. Yes. That's the temperature for each day. Yes.
Okay.
Up in the Minnesota, Wisconsin area. Yeah. So those are the highs. 8675309. Very funny.
Well, and as long as we're taking a little trip back in time, I want to I want to just talk about not the old days of blogging. I just want to do a public service announcement.
Okay.
Since my wife has gotten a lot of requests and a lot of questions, as far as I know, from people saying, did DriftClass see this or that, or has he commented or this or that or whatever about some current event or something happening, which is I really appreciate because I am, as you know, forever banned from Twitter. I can never, ever go back. I'm gone for saying a naughty word, calling someone trash. But here's the thing. I have a thing called a blog.
Yes, you do.
All of the times when I used to be on Twitter and would refer people to something I wrote, I was referring to them to my blog, which is going to have its 16th anniversary in about a month. So,
and your wife kind of forgot about that today. I was like, did you see this tweet? And you're like, did you read my blog?
Did you?
Oh, you wrote it four months ago. Okay.
Yeah. So if you have a burning question about, I wonder if he said this or that, which I deeply appreciate. I really do appreciate, you know, wondering whether I thought of something or was aware of it or had comments on it. That's great. All you have to do is literally click two mouse clicks over to my blog and you can look and see for yourself. And if I don't, if it's some, you know, big blow up thing, let me know. Because I also have a thing called an email account.
Yeah, which, and a comment section.
Right. There's lots of ways to get in touch with me. And it's just there are several people that we interact with who are just – they live on Twitter. The idea of texting someone to their email account or commenting or going is like completely alien to them.
They fall off the edge of their world. Yeah,
Okay. Yeah. All right. And I understand that. But I don't live in that world. I'm an old – I have a – I listen to – all of my podcasts on a Philco radio. It takes about 20 minutes to warm the tubes up. And that's just me. So I don't want to impose my values on you, but that's just who I am. I also want to remind everyone, since we're going to talk a little bit about impeachment today and Republican Party and all the stuff we talk about, a year ago, this is the week more or less when a year ago, Republicans, all the Republicans you see on television, all the Republicans who are commenting, all of them with one notable exception, voted to confer unlimited monarchical power on Donald Trump by clearing him of the previous
charges. First impeachment.
The first impeachment. They all told us, he's never going to do this again. It'll be fine. So, and I want to remind you, because time is just flying past for us. We're just like, it's Friday? Really? Mm-hmm. Good God. To celebrate his being told by his Republican Party that he now had unlimited power and there'd be no consequences for anything he ever did. Fuck you all. I'm a king. He did the following. He lied his way through the State of the Union address. He awarded the Medal of Freedom to the worst racist thug in the media on live television. He launched into a long, vindictive, creepy Stalinist rant that included blaming crooked politics, dirty cops, leakers, liars, and bad people for all his very unfair impeachment. They're vicious and mean. And Trump said, vicious. These people are vicious. Adam Schiff is vicious, a horrible person. Nancy Pelosi is a horrible person. And it was all bullshit, he added. And finally, he turned the National Prayer Breakfast into the National Predator Breakfast. And if that sounds familiar, that's what we were podcasting a year ago. Because anyone who's paying any attention knew, oh, you just gave him a permission slip to do whatever the fuck he wants. And he did. And so, and that's why we are here, because the Republican Party stabbed this country in the back when they had a chance at long last to put a cage around the lunatic that they nominated and elected. The Republican Party did this to us. This was all preventable. And Adam Schiff was on television a year ago saying, if you let him off the hook now, he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. And he did it again. And the whole, as far as I'm concerned, the whole Republican Party down to the grassroots is what's on trial this week. Anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you have in our notes, what did Republicans think would happen when voters chose to take him down, chose to push him out? He was going to trash the voters, trash the Biden voters, trash the whole electoral process. And it was fun for him to have them storm the Capitol building.
Yeah.
And break things on his behalf.
Do a little dance, you know.
Yeah, what, right. Really.
And every step along the way when it could have been stopped, every Republican who had any authority, who had a microphone, who had a megaphone, who could actually speak to this topic, said, what is it? What will it hurt? Indulge him. Let him have his way. Let the little baby throw a tantrum. You know, in private, we'll say he lost. In public, we'll say, you know, there's a case to be made, and maybe we should all sit and listen. And you know what? You're ignoring the fees of 74 million people.
Yeah.
Lost. And that's just not fair.
But I'm really wondering, this is totally on topic, because we learned from the New York Times this week that everybody in Trump's orbit lied about how sick he was with COVID.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm wondering if they've all been lying for the past, what, 2 years, 3 years about how mentally ill he is?
Probably.
One of the things that also happened a year ago this week, Donald Trump met with a bunch of Republican senators and all of a sudden started talking about voter fraud.
Yep.
And how he actually won the, you know, won the 2016. This was, excuse me, this was 4 years ago. He won the 2016 election and he won the popular vote.
By a lot.
And he's talking about this on February 10th.
Yeah.
You know, a month, almost a month after inauguration, he's still talking about, you know, I really won the popular vote.
Yeah.
And there's so much voter fraud. And they're talking about, with him, the process of getting Neil Gorsuch through to the Supreme Court.
That's what they want to talk about.
The confirmation process. Mm-hmm. That was what the meeting was about 4 years ago. And you're like, you know, I won the popular vote. And there was this stunned silence. What the fuck is he talking about? Why is he still talking about that? Does he know he's the president? Does he know that he's it? Let's just move on from that. No, he's not going to let anything go because he doesn't believe in democracy. He just believes in his own power. Yeah. And anyone who's against him being number one must be corrupt and horrible and a terrible person. And all the things you said about Nancy Pelosi. And it's a form of insanity. And Occam's razor, I think they all knew it.
Well,
you know, Mitch McConnell hasn't talked to Trump in 8 months. Yeah. I think it was like July.
Well, he got everything he wanted.
Yeah.
You know, he extracted all the value from him and now he's done. Well, this goes down to the grassroots. This goes down to stuff we've mentioned before about how the minute a trusted right wing, wing nut, batshit journalist, columnist, you know, in some respectable source or less respectable source who's the hero of the mob, the minute they say something wrong about the dear leader or about, in this case, I'm thinking about Sarah Palin, the mob turns on them on a dime because that's what they've been trained to do. And every time it happens, these people are shocked that the Republican mob is in fact a fucking mob. Like, well, of course they are. You built them to be this way. This is what you wanted. You built an electoral battering ram that would do whatever you say, believe whatever you said, and knock down any door you told them to because reasons. And the minute you tell them something that you need them to believe because it's true, that doesn't comport with the shit you've been putting in their head for 30 years, they'll eat you alive. And every elected official knows that now. They know that there's a monster. And the monster isn't Trump. The monster is the Republican voter, the asshole at the end of the bar who's got a basement full of machine guns and a trunk full of Trump literature. And now he's an independent, so that's cool, I suppose. But
I went through my list of blocked accounts on Twitter, and I blocked a lot of Trumpers in the past 5 years. And I'm not trying to start history with 5 years ago. I'm just saying I started to block Trump supporters 5 years ago. I wanted to go through. I've been meaning to do this now since the election. Go through and see at what point do their Twitter bios start changing from MAGA, MAGA, MAGA Trump 2020 to I'm an independent constitutional conservative who never liked the tweeting. Because that's very predictable to see that happen. 100%. They're all scraping off their Trump bumper stickers and saying, I'm independent. You know, they're not going to go to the Democratic Party.
No.
They'll be glad to cash the stimulus check when it comes, but they're going to vote Republican for the rest of their lives. There is no such thing as an independent voter, except in extraordinarily rare instances. I went through my Twitter blocked list, and boy, there all of a sudden there are an awful lot of libertarians. And independent. I'm an independent, constitutional conservative. I'm constitutional. I'm a patriot. I get a lot of that. I'm a patriot.
Sure.
American flag, I'm a patriot.
And I want to be...
But,
I just
very little mentions of Trump anymore.
And that's the point. These are the same people who, and there, I got a lot of feedback from people saying, well, you see, these people love Trump. They're not, it's not like the Bush off machine. It's not like the Bush days when they all just tore him up. It's exactly that way. They don't want to have to justify anything Donald Trump did by having a conversation about what they were doing during the Trump years. They want to get on with talking about the totalitarian communist regime of Joseph R. Biden. And they want, that's what they want.
Well, and I do wonder how many of them moved over to Parler when Parler was a thing for that 5 minutes. And, you know, there it was safe to be Trump, Trump, Trump after the election. Sure. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But the ones that I saw very little Trump and a lot of independent and a lot of I'm a libertarian. That's
And if you there's a New York Times article entitled "There's Nothing Left: Why Thousands of Republicans Are Leaving the Party." And I looked at the headline and go, yeah, I know where this is going. And
because we've seen this article like how many times in the past 30 years have you seen this kind of article?
This was a 2009 op-ed by David Brooks, who suddenly noticed all these independents out there. And they loved it. They loved tax cuts and they loved the Republican agenda. And Democrats are going to have to take these independents seriously if they want to govern, you know, the whole country, you know, unity. Well, fuck that. They were a bunch of Republicans who just took off their Bush bumper stickers and pretended to be independents. And if you dig down three paragraphs into this article, you'll find the word independent used many, 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 many times.
So funny.
Or no party affiliation. And all this is they want to avoid the debate over Trump. They still love him. They would still die for him. They would still burn the country down on his command. They just don't want to have a conversation at the corner diner about Donald fucking Trump. They want to have a conversation about why Barack Obama is a dirty communist Kenyan sleeper cell. And having to justify what they did under Bush got in the way of that. So they just pretended, I'd never heard of the guy. It's so much easier when you know there's no accountability, when you know that no one's going to pull the, you know, your picture of you with a MAGA hat on out of their pocket. They just lie about it. Just ignore it. Just pretend you get to change the subject here for a Republican. The past is constantly being rewritten and rewritten and rewritten, even though you know deep in their dirty little hearts, they're going to be ride or die for Trump forever. They just would rather not talk about it.
Yeah. I just wonder, though, because I would like to talk with a linguist about this sometime, about the use of language and Donald Trump. Yeah. The reason, and you have this in our notes, it's so funny. This week, Bruce Castor showed America what happens when your strip mall mob lawyer shows up in court with the wrong folder and has to vamp for an hour. Yes. But he also was in a language box of, I can't stand up here and say Trump didn't do it.
Right.
Because if I say Trump didn't do it, then all of the people who are arrested now are abandoned and the grift is over. And my client doesn't want me to do that, doesn't want me to end the fundraising opportunity that is there for Donald Trump to be standing with all these quote unquote patriots.
Right.
So he can't say I didn't do it. He also can't say Trump isn't president anymore because his client doesn't want him to say that.
Right.
As far as Donald Trump is concerned, he's the 45th president of the United States. We talked about this last week.
Right.
And that's the end of it. Because Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. Oh, my God. So there's a language box. And the only thing he can do, the only thing Trump's lawyers can do is say, what about all these Democrats who did worse?
Sure.
And that is going over like you would expect, except that the jury is rigged. So it really doesn't matter what these lawyers say because the jury is rigged.
Why don't you talk a little bit more about that, about jury nullification and the history
Jury nullification. It was Eddie Glaube yesterday was talking about how this is the Emmett Till murder trial.
Yeah.
Where you've got an all-white jury. No way are these Klansmen going to be convicted for killing a black boy. And what is on trial is their lifestyle, their racial power, and their worldview. It's not a trial for murder. It's not a trial for a crime. What's on trial is we get to keep our power. And that's exactly what's going on with the Republican Party in this impeachment trial. We get to call the shots. Our president, we have no accountability for our president, and he has no accountability for anything he did. So the idea that Mitch McConnell would delay the trial until after Trump leaves office and then say he can't be put on trial because he's out of office.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing that happened with the Obamacare debate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to put 200 amendments in the bill and then complain that it's too long.
Mm-hmm.
And the media has failed us. They have no memory to be able to realize, oh, you know, Mitch McConnell is the one who made the trial be on the date that it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Trump is not able to be indicted while he's president and not able to be impeached while he's not president. So he gets off no matter what.
Well,
that's how whiteness works.
And once you have figured out that you're going to win no matter what, there's no mm-hmm. way that they're not going to acquit their dear leader, no matter mm-hmm. what, no matter mm-hmm. what. This is the Emmett Till trial. No matter what we say or do, these white bigot jurors are never going to convict one of their own. Ever. Mm-hmm. It's never mm-hmm. going to happen. That frees you up to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So this afternoon, we're recording this on Friday. The defense of Donald Trump has amounted to a montage of every time any Democrat has ever used the word fight, going back to Truman.
Mm-hmm.
And narration that feels like about a dozen Sean Hannity monologues all stitched together. And that's it. They're sitting up there creating sound bites for Fox News and doing exactly what all these fucking Republicans did for 4 years under Donald Trump, which is he's the only audience they care about. His approval is the only thing these dirtbag lawyers care about. So whatever he needs us to say, whatever direction, we can't sit here and say the election was stolen,
because mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. then would be disbarred. You know,
yeah,
then
right.
Then there might be consequences to being a mob lawyer for this asshole, this lunatic, and this murderer. But we're going to go right up to that line, and we're just going to just bullshit. We're just going to sit up here for a couple hours and fucking lie about everything. We're going to lie about the access to the evidence that we had. We're going to sit here and tell no. They didn't give us these films, and which they manifestly did. We're going to lie about the timeline. We're going to lie about what the word fight means. We're going to lie about what the word insurrection means. Mm-hmm. Apparently, according to Bruce Castor, the word insurrection only applies when, you know, you have this thing and the government's taken over and they go for the television studios, which is going to come as a huge shock to these 17th and 18th century and 19th century people who wrote the law, whose responsibility, what the fuck is a television? Insurrection.
He also said resurrection instead of insurrection. So led to a lot of jokes about, you know, really?
And the word insurrection has a real specific definition,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, a violent uprising against the United States government, against the government, which is exactly what this was. So, but when you're in a no lose situation,
mm-hmm.
or no matter what you do, Ted Cruz and the rest of these scumbags are going to let your guy walk. What do you care? What do you care? The only thing you have to do is make sure your client is happy with the lies that are coming out of your mouth and that Fox News gets what it needs, which is a bunch of content for Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham. And that's what they're doing. So because I have been flicking over, and we'll talk about this more in more depth later, this reality that we're all sitting through and watching doesn't exist at all on Fox News this week.
Right.
It is not this. There's no impeachment going on this week. There's the unjust crucifixion of a glorious Christian man by a bunch of, you know, totalitarian Democrats. But nothing like the reality you and I are experiencing is happening on Fox News.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that because you've introduced it beautifully.
Well, thank you.
Found on Fox this week.
Yeah.
Tuesday, the night of the first day of the impeachment, when they were talking about and they lost mm-hmm. the argument over for the constitutionality.
Right.
On Tucker Carlson's Mom Was Right, My Face Did Stick This Way program, Tucker was deeply worried about a Joe Biden sub-cabinet appointment with ties to the Chinese communist government. And why was no one else willing to ask these hard questions?
Bastards.
And Laura Ingraham's show is the backed-up toilet of television.
Yeah.
It's the white power hour, we call it, over at Crooks and Liars. She had on Devin Nunes, Jim Jordan, and the mortal remains of Kenneth Starr, yeah. And they all were showing up to complain about the drama and lies of the Democrats' sham impeachment. Kenneth Starr had something to do with the Clinton impeachment, didn't he?
He sure did. He was the second guy. After the first impeachment guy said, there's nothing to impeach here. They fired his ass and they hired Ken Starr and gave him a bag of money and said, go find something to convict Bill Clinton on. And he found a blowjob and he found some lies about an extramarital affair. And that was sufficient to take down the president of the United States, according to Ken Starr.
But now he comes on TV and says shampeachment.
Shampeachment.
Yep.
Yeah. Trump did nothing wrong. He wanted a peaceful march. Antifa and BLM are the real enemies. Then you get the obligatory MyPillow commercial. Then on to, I'm not kidding, COVID scolds hate football. And the Biden snitch patrol, the communist culture of snitching, is invading the United States. This is complete with a giant Soviet flag.
Soviet flag.
Hammer and sickle red flag. Biden snitches turns families against each other. And the snitching left demands that you conform. That was just Tuesday.
And then Wednesday, Fox and Friends, I'm sorry, they just ought to call it stupid for breakfast.
Yeah,
because it is. Because Brian Kilmeade started whining about, why do we have to protest after every election result? Why does there have to be, we shouldn't have protests after every election. We should tighten up our elections like they did in Florida.
Which is weird, because I listened to the list the list of elections he went through, and the Kenyan usurper was not mentioned at all.
No, no Kenyan usurper was mentioned.
Apparently, Barack
Obama was no problem. He also said, and supposedly Biden won.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't want you. I don't want you coming to my house and hurting me. So, whatever you need to hear, man. Whatever you need, I'll say whatever you want. Just let me.
But can't we just please be nice and not protest every election result anymore? As if somehow. What happened on January 6th was just, you know, a march with pussy hats. That's all it was. It was the same thing. Right.
Well, and if you watch the, you know, montage of the same 15 clips over and over and over again, which is all Fox News is, that's exactly the case they're making. Then later on in the evening, Tucker Carlson, you know, sat at his desk going, Democrats suddenly care about cops. Bullshit. Yeah. Mark Cuban hates America.
And because he doesn't want to sing the national anthem at the beginning of his games. Yeah.
Like,
you know, that was the story of the day and the next morning and the next afternoon and on and on.
And Joe Biden is a job killer. So
he's a job killer. Right. Thursday, only Fox News stands between you and totalitarian Central Committee uniformity, says Tucker Carlson. Project Veritas has been banned from Twitter because they tell the truth.
Yeah.
But when you do, they'll shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of country is it that no one will mourn the shooting of an unarmed woman, Ashley Babbitt, who was in the speaker's lobby for trespassing? And then Max Boot.
Yeah, he shit all over Max Boot, you know, because Max Boot was. And it was just cuts from MSNBC. And Tucker Carlson with that, you know, that. I don't know, gopher that took a massive hit of crack and then had Novocaine pumped into his skull. That that bewildered expression, like, how could anyone believe? What kind of party is it that they don't even mourn poor Ashley Babbitt, who just was an unarmed woman in the speaker's lobby, and all she did was a little bit of trespassing.
All she did was try to crash through a window.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But that's not what Crazy Uncle Liberty wants to hear. And
she was shot by a Secret Service agent protecting Mike Pence.
Right. But that's not the story that your Crazy Uncle Liberty is going to hear. Yeah. And of course, Tucker Carlson will tell you that when they come for you, and they will come for you, they'll come as social workers. Because we're all AOC now. We all have to be this correct. Then they brought on a guy named Sean Davis of the Federalist. Who funds the Federalist? And screaming about 1984, we're seeing the complete totalitarian takeover of the left. It's Orwellian. The cowardly and complicit mainstream media is going along with the totalitarian left. And here's the problem, Blue Gal.
Yeah.
I remember after Barack Obama won, we were the totalitarian left then, and tyranny was right around the corner. So I'm watching reruns because I have a functional memory.
Right.
Sean Davis says, remember, the New York Times is the paper that published Hitler and supported Stalin. And then Tucker Carlson helpfully adds, they're the paper that got us into the Iraq War.
What happened to Fox Rocks?
That's the
remember
past.
Remember when Fox News went to, well, Tucker Carlson's bringing up the past about the New York Times. I guess you're allowed to bring up the New York Times past, but not Fox News's past. Is that it?
That's the are you aware of Fox News policy? Yes, that's exactly what happened. Then you have the ads, which I thought were delightful, at some wingnut Christian college who wants you to come and learn Bible stuff. Then the MyPillow guy, who now has a book about his use of math to prove God exists.
Oh, my God.
And then later, the same MyPillow guy has another ad, because those are the only people who advertise on Fox anymore. MyPillow guy now has My Towels. You can order towels from MyPillow guy, which are absorbent. Every other towel just is like a sheet of plastic. Nothing works but his towel. And he's got a little cross sticking out from his shirt in a very weird and uncomfortable way, just to let you know he's a real Christian. So you can trust MyPillow guy to buy shit from. Because Fox News is willing to start a race war.
Yeah. The thing about Tucker Carlson and also Laura Ingraham is they have been told to start a race war to defend Trump. Mm-hmm. And they've done that because protecting Trump is a race war.
Yeah.
It's getting back to what Eddie Glaub said. This is a race war already. And white nationalism is the Republican Party.
Let me just mention that we don't normally talk about Fox News because it is just – it's hopeless.
Oh, yeah.
There's no salvation for it. But this week, this impeachment week, we thought it was important enough to see what crazy Uncle Liberty is watching, so you'll understand why – nothing coming out of his mouth makes sense.
Yeah. And two things. One is Seth Meyers said this week that as far as Fox News is concerned, the bigger story they have to avoid, the smaller story they will cover. And so, yes, we're going to have a whole thing about the New York Times and Hitler in order to avoid talking about Donald Trump inciting a mob to destroy the Capitol and kill the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was reading in the Daily Beast about Fox News and how they're really having we've talked about this before, a ratings problem.
Yeah.
And it's not just that people are leaving Fox to go to OAN and Breitbart and wherever else they go. They have a problem with getting advertisers to advertise on Fox, not just because their hosts, especially their primetime hosts, are Nazis. The way advertising works is 25 to 54 years old is the audience you want to get.
Yes.
And one of the reasons that Fox has fallen to third place is not just Trump. It's not just competition from farther right people. It's that finally their entire audience is aging out of that group.
Yeah.
And so it's the 25 to 54 group used to be including some Fox News views, and those viewers are totally aging out. Mm-hmm. Even Republicans who are younger than 54 aren't watching Fox. They're not interested in Fox. They know Fox lies. They know Fox isn't interesting to them. And Fox never catered to younger Republicans at all. They're not interested in that. So this is a real problem for Rupert Murdoch. Audience wise, he's going to lose the audience that advertisers want, regardless of everything else that's going on, simply because they're aging out.
Yeah. Fox News was set up to be softcore porn for old white guys. Let's move on to a timeline that does not include Marjorie Taylor Greene's tantric sex guru. How about that?
and Lauren Boebert's cousin daddy, who's also a wrestler.
Oh, God. My brother wrestled in high school. The Rock was a wrestler. We have nothing against
professional wrestler. Right. The Rock was a professional wrestler. It's an art form. It is an art form. But when your mom's Facebook posts prove that your cousin is your dad.
Yeah. You know, this is why.
Where's the evidence of this? My mom's Facebook.
Right. You know, this is why I can't be on Twitter anymore. Because this is what I would talk about this all day long.
How did you learn about this? My mom's Facebook talked all about it.
Uh-huh. The postmark on the envelope from Sisterfuck Arkansas wasn't clue enough for you.
People were mad about Sisterfuck Arkansas with you. Like, that's not fair.
Guess what? I win.
And poor Katie Hill with her, you know, this is the thing that, you know, here's the revenge porn victim. Uh-huh. And I get it that she resigned because her consensual affair was with a staffer and there was a complaint about it from a staffer. And, you know, this is a workplace incident, very much along the lines of Al Franken as well. It's a workplace incident.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with that. And both of those people resigned because they're Democrats, and that's when you have to resign.
Sure.
It's not, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene's extramarital affair. By the way, I don't know exactly what open cheating is. Do you know what that is? Openly cheated?
I think that's an episode of Maverick and involves poker, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm not familiar with the vocabulary of these, of the youth.
Marjorie Taylor Greene openly cheated.
Yeah.
In her gym with a tantric sex guru.
Nice. That's
and
nice.
Again, these people's personal sex lives shouldn't be the issue at all.
Uh-huh.
It's when you start preaching Jesus, Jesus all the time and holiness. And I believe in Jesus Christ and love my children. In the meantime, I'm have lots of time to have sex with a tantric sex guru who's not my husband.
Mm-hmm. Well, she doesn't have any committee assignments, so now she has all this extra time on her hands.
She's got all the time in the world for her tantric sex guru.
And sort of the larger point we're trying to make is these people aren't going anywhere.
No, well, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. It's really important. I wish we could drill that into Republican senators' minds, but Republican senators are not very bright, apparently, and can't look past this week, because these people, and I'm not just talking about Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who are extreme. I get that. Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Roger Stone, Michael Flynn, you know, they're all going to shit in the punch bowl of the Republican Party for the next half decade at least.
Yes, they will.
For the rest of his life, Rudy Giuliani is going to shit in the Republican punch bowl.
Yeah. Oh, and it's great for ratings.
Yeah.
Having crazy Rudy spouting off and melting down and spitting in every direction is eye-catching madness, which will – so we'll put him on television because we need someone to talk about. Rudy's crazy and he draws an audience. Freaks draw audiences. That's what Fox News is all about. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, being that we are Democrats and liberals and we admit our mistakes, I would like to have a correction on the record. Last week, I said that Illinois Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger voted against impeaching Donald Trump. I was wrong. I misread the congressional record. Representative Kinzinger voted with his party against the motion to consider impeachment, which lost, and then he voted in favor of the article of impeachment. So he voted not to bring it to the floor, along with the rest of his party, but it was brought to the floor, and he did the right thing, and he voted to impeach Donald Trump in the House.
So apparently he listened to the evidence and decided that Donald Trump should be impeached.
Yeah.
All right, good for him. He is still not our friend.
No, well, he tried to take our health care away from us, so no, he's not our friend.
Yes, he did. And this is something I got into a fight with people on Twitter about today. Mm-hmm. I came across somebody who was going to give – a Democrat who said, I've never given to a Republican before, but I'm going to give a small amount to – Adam Kinzinger's political action committee, because I'm so in favor of all you're doing for democracy.
Well, it's so hot.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to give to your political action committee. It's as if Stacey Abrams doesn't exist. You know, it's.
Yeah.
You don't need to. There's just so much approval seeking on the left that just drives me insane. You don't need Adam Kinzinger's help to protect democracy. Am I glad he's on the right side of history in this particular instance? Sure. Send him a postcard and say that. If you feel so grateful to Adam Kinzinger for doing that, send him a postcard. Thanks for your courage. Appreciate it. But your money needs to go to elect Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Because Republicans eventually, even the quote-unquote good ones at this moment, will be around again, will come around again to privatize your Social Security. And we don't have time for that. So this is when I got all Bible bitchy on you, Driftglass.
Yes, you
morning.
Did. I just stood back and said, oh, here we go. Here we go.
I said, peace, peace when there is no peace. And then I realized that's in the Bible. And it's very much connecting to people who want to move on from impeachment and also people who want to. Oh, look, this great Adam Kinzinger, he's so great, let's give him $5. No, don't do it. Let's do a Bible bitch.
Bible bitch.
That's not scriptural. Jeremiah 6:13-15. The King James Version says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And the message is even better. And this, again, think about Republican congressmen when you're reading this.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's after the dishonest dollar, little people and big people alike. Prophets and priests and everyone in between twist words and doctor truth. My people are broken, shattered, and they put on band-aids, saying, it's not so bad, you'll be just fine. But things are not just fine. Do you suppose they are embarrassed over this outrage? No, they have no shame. They don't even know how to blush. There's no hope for them. They've hit bottom, and there's no getting up. As far as I'm concerned, they're finished. I got to that point with Republicans when they voted against me having health insurance with mm-hmm. no replacement in sight.
No, it was just to fuck you and fuck Barack Obama.
Fuck Barack Obama. Yep.
That was the only reason for it.
And at that point, and then in, you know, the Cat Food Commission and the privatizing Social Security back in the Bush years and the lying us into war and on, we cannot make peace with this party. And I know it, there's so much temptation to want to heal and bring the country together and so forth. And the country is together as far as cashing Joe Biden's stimulus checks. Yeah, you know, 80-90% of people want that.
Mm-hmm.
But you turn around and the people that the Republican Party will put into power will be the people that take away your Social Security, your Medicare, your Obamacare, et cetera.
Well, but Blue
Gal. And they're trying to shrink the COVID response anyway, right yeah. now.
Yes, they are.
And don't get me started about reproductive rights, because there you go.
She will go through you like a bolt of lightning.
I will go through you like a bolt of lightning. I want to talk for a minute about old yarn tales.
Yeah, I want to hear about it. You didn't tell me what this is, and I want to hear about it.
I didn't tell you what this is. I wanted to talk to you about some old yarn I have. Several people over the course of this podcast, the 11 years of this podcast, have sent me yarn. And one couple that wrote me, the wife does dyeing of yarn, and she dyed this yarn to my specifications. I wanted some ocean-colored yarn, and she made this beautiful aqua-colored yarn with yellow highlights in it. It was gorgeous. And I wound it into balls, and then I put it in my stash, and it sat there and sat there and sat there. I think it's been there for about 8 years. That mm-hmm. happens. Yarn just kind of has mm-hmm. to sit there for a while until I figure out what to do with it. Well, this week, I figured out what to do with it. And the reason I bring this up, this is related to politics. The Democratic Party has a lot of yarn in their stash.
Yes,
they have a lot of ideas and wishes and hopes for the future. And, you know, starting with the Civil Rights Act and moving forward from there, it's time for us to break that yarn out and get to work. And that's what the next 18 months are about. I think we've probably got 15 months to do this.
Yeah.
So we got to move fast. We've talked a lot about this, that, you know, clearly Chuck Schumer has got the message, particularly with COVID relief. But it's time to break out these ideas that we've had about education, about student loan, about healthcare, et cetera. Get it out, use it, make it beautiful, and do it quickly. And don't be afraid to trumpet the good things that are happening.
Yeah.
Finally, Joe Biden removed the work requirement from Medicaid, which was so cruel.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the cruelest things Donald Trump did, was try to put a work requirement on Medicaid. First of all, anybody who's on Medicaid who can work, who can find a job, is working.
Uh-huh.
The reason people are on Medicaid is they're either in a nursing home or they have children. That's the children at home. And those are the, you know, categories where people can be on Medicaid. And Medicaid expansion allowed working poor people without children to have Medicaid as well.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you would tack on a work requirement, which means a bureaucracy, is, first of all, it's antithetical to the Republican Party to create another bureaucracy. But this bureaucracy's purpose was to kick the poor.
Right. That's it. Cruelty was the point. Yeah.
Yep. So onward and time to dig out that old yarn and make it beautiful.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I think we can actually take a lesson from the House impeachment managers this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about them. They did a very good job.
They did a great job. I would say it's not over yet because there's a Q&A and there's always tomorrow, but as close to flawless as I could ask for. Mm-hmm. They executed just fine. I got no complaints. I got no beefs. I have no suggestions, which for me is a monumental thing as a as a persnickety. If you read my blog and you see the typos that occasionally creep in there, which are all mm-hmm. intentional, I promise you, they're all on purpose. I'm a really good editor of other people's work. I have a hard time editing my own stuff in real time, which is what you have to do when you're a blogger. But I listened carefully to most of what they were talking about, and I couldn't find any flaw with it. Because they settled on the right strategy, which was rolling out the most devastating weapon in their arsenal, which was the timeline.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it came to mind that I was talking about war flicks, war movies, to Junior Dude.
Yeah. And you guys were watching The Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how good it was and sort of how rich and rewarding it was and the payoff of this long, long story. And I got onto the subject of how important it is for the director to never let the audience get lost in big set pieces. There's good storytelling demands that the viewer always know exactly where they are and which side is which and what's going on and to zoom in on close-ups of personal matters, personal interactions that are going on. And while not neglecting to zoom out and give people perspective of the whole chessboard, what's really going on. And if you're looking for examples of this sort of thing, the desert tank battle in Patton, I'd give you for an example, or the opening scene in Gladiator. Mm-hmm. You need everything you need to know about who this guy is and what the stakes are and who's fighting who and why is laid out in this gigantic battle. And of course, the ultimate battle in the Avengers. It's really easy to get lost in those things and lose perspective. You need someone who knows which notes to play and when. And a woman named Paula Vogel on Twitter said this about that practice, which is our democracy hangs by a thread. Good storytelling is paramount in wrestling the narrative from the charismatic liars. The Democrats have learned to be as emotionally truthful as they are factually truthful,
and
good on TV, which unfortunately necessary in modern times.
Yeah.
And they did this. They figured, now I'm not going to fault them for the first impeachment hearing they had last year, because that was a much more complicated case to make. And it was spread over a long period of time. There had to be witnesses.
And there was no video.
There were really compelling witnesses. But I've heard on certain conservative podcasts that agreed that Donald Trump should have been impeached, but it was so boring. It was the most boringest thing ever. Oh God! And finally, and this is something that I actually heard on a conservative podcast just yesterday, that they finally learned from the Lincoln Project.
Oh God!
That they took a playbook from the Lincoln Project. No, they had a very clear time period that took place over one day, where they could explain exactly what happened, and then they did exactly what you're supposed to do. They showed the timeline of events and the personal stories of the people involved. First, an almost minute-by-minute account of the hours of the insurrection, where people were and what they were saying and doing. And here's an example. Donald Trump learned at 2:14 p.m. on January 6th that Mike Pence's life was in danger. 10 minutes later, at 2:24 p.m., he went on Twitter lashing out at Pence for lacking, quote, the courage to overturn the election for him, thereby putting his life in even greater danger. That's absolutely clear what's going on here. And what they did was they established the timeline, then expanded it outwards to Trump's actions over the course of days and then weeks and then months and then years. They showed this guy has always been in favor of violent solutions to his problems. This is the guy who would tell people that I'll pay your medical bills if you knock their heads in. This is the guy who talked about him being cheated out of the election in 2016. And this is the guy who said, nah, it depends. I might agree to the transition of power. I might not. Depends on the outcome. And every step along the way, they laid it out very clearly. Here's what he believed. Here's what he said. Here's what he told his followers. Here's what they did. Here are the state houses they took over with armed men who were screaming his name. And interspersed with that were the personal stories of the people who were being, you know, fighting for their lives at the state capitol or the nation's capital. And mm-hmm. it was extraordinarily effective. And in a healthy democracy, it would be 99-1 to impeach him and bar him from ever holding public office again. Mm-hmm. It won't mm-hmm. be because we don't live in a healthy democracy. We live in a democracy that is being poisoned and polluted by a depraved Republican Party. But it was extremely effective because they did, you know, frankly, what we try to do here and what we believe our mission to be, which is contextualize what you're listening to. Tell the story of what you're seeing and make sure you understand in a larger context why things are the way they are. Why are people doing what they're doing? And why does this shit that doesn't seem to make any sense make perfect sense when you put it in the context of larger political forces?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good summation.
Now,
I think people should be very proud of you, Driftglass, because you've made it 3/4 of the way through our podcast and you haven't crowed about the Lincoln Project yet.
Well, yet.
well, and I want you to know someone asked me today, how insufferable is Driftglass this morning?
Oh.
And I put up a GIF of the Colbert Report where the big banner comes down that says, I was right.
Yeah.
And I said, this is our house now.
Well, if I can just steal and abuse a line from the Avengers.
Sure.
That's my secret. I'm always insufferable.
Yes, I'm always angry. Yes, yeah. You are. Always angry. Yeah.
And I just, this is why I'm off Twitter, right?
I want you to read the letter from a listener asking for advice.
Oh, yes. Okay. I have a letter of advice here asking from a listener, quote unquote, air quote listener. Dear Blue Gal, Tom Nichols is talking bad about me on Twitter, but I am permanently banned from Twitter. What should I do? Signed, definitely not Driftglass's burner account.
Well, yeah, I think Driftglass should write a post about it at his blog is what I think should happen.
I already did. I've written a couple of them. Yes. I wrote a short post today about the Lincoln Project. I've written about Tom Nichols and what a piece of work he is. But in the larger sense, here's the problem. Here's the problem with being right about it. First of all, if you don't know, the Lincoln Project is sort of falling apart. Once AP got a hold of a story, all kinds of really kind of creepy shit comes out about.
Once the Associated Press agrees with Driftglass, it's over.
It's game over. Well, but it's not. I do have eyes inside of Twitter, and I do have people, my little Baker Street irregulars who pass me stuff. And there is a very strong pushback about what all the good work they did and how important it was. And basically, they saved democracy, Blue Gal. And if there's some stuff going on there, I hope they fix it because they're so important to our country. There is – I want to emphasize this so that there's no misunderstanding. There's no proof at all that the Lincoln Project had any effect whatsoever on this election at all. None. They had 5 or 6 benchmark numerical goals that they said way in advance were there. This is how you measure us. We're going to drive Republican turnout down to take out Donald Trump. We're going to take out these 5 senators because they're all low-hanging fruit and they're all easy targets. Republican participation went up by 10 million votes. Mm-hmm. And all of those senators won by much larger margins than they won last time.
Yeah.
There's no evidence at all that these people had anything to do with this election. But they have unlimited access to MSNBC and the spotlight. Yeah. And they can build a myth. And the myth they built is they are indispensable to democracy. You can't do without them. And so it turned out that this testosterone poisoned barrel of mercenary Republican assholes who have been mercenary Republican assholes their whole life, when the staves start coming off the barrel and you can see inside and starts leaking into the press, everyone's just shocked that these people were kind of shitty and bad things happened.
Particularly to women.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly to women.
And
yes.
Then when the one woman who was a co-founder is quits because the other co-founder was a serial sexual predator, allegedly, they start attacking her. And when she goes to a reporter to talk about what's really going on behind the scenes, which is not just that, but it's also where the fuck did all that money go? Because tens of millions of dollars went to pay the consulting companies of the Lincoln Project founders. Mm-hmm. And the money just sort of went away. And it there's no explanation for it. They set it up so that you can't really trace it. But she, as an insider, said, you really ought to check out where the money went because a whole bunch of it went into their pockets. They hacked into her into her direct messages and screenshot the things she was saying to a reporter and then splash them all over Twitter with these vengeful comments until George Conway had to go on Twitter saying, this looks like a federal crime. Maybe we should take this shit down.
Mm-hmm.
This all happened in the last...
Illegal wiretapping, yeah. Essentially. Yeah.
This
yeah.
all happened in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
And the pushback from all the gullible fucking liberals who threw money at these people and said, these are the people who are the saviors of the Republic. And, oh, they're telling these people made porn for you. They made really good ads that told you everything you wanted to hear, which is fine. But it had no effect on the election at all. And these people are so invested in the fact that these 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 guys, and they're all but one are guys, are the true heroes, are the saviors of the Republic. And I know that because I see three of them every goddamn day on MSNBC saying it out loud. And everyone else applauding them go, yes, yes, Rick Wilson, you are a fucking genius. Now that that's just not a defensible position anymore, the people who believe that are reacting a whole lot like people reacting on the right to the fall of Donald Trump, which is, I'm just going to start finding excuses to keep believing what I've already believed. Because I've already gone on the record as saying these people are wonderful and glorious and savior, and anyone who says otherwise is a jerk. You know, this is all hands on deck, man. This is the enemy of my enemy is my friend, Driftglass. What don't you understand about that? And the fact that you might have to eat those words like you had to eat the words about Glenn Greenwald is
you mean back when you lost a third of your traffic over being thrown last.
Yeah. Throwing a big pot of money at this misogynist creep with a really bad political agenda that is not friendly to yours is a terrible idea. I lost a whole bunch of listeners and a whole bunch of respect from the left. And then it turned out old Driftglass was right. And I'm not looking for people to line up to apologize, but I'm telling you, the next time you hear me say, hey, this thing that is way too good to be true, composed of people who with sketchy pasts who get really freaked out when you talk about what happened yesterday and don't want to talk about it and block you if you talk about it and have access to the media that you and I will never have, to build a mythology that's completely divorced from reality, maybe they're not your friends. Maybe it's a big scam. Maybe they're grifting you for money because they know you will give them money for saying what you already believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. If you want to go to a carnival and spend your money there, that's great. If you want to go to a house of prostitution and spend your money hiring someone to tell you what a stud you are, that's fine. But don't expect me to look at that and say, no, your dick really is 3 feet long. No, it's not. It's not. You hired someone to tell you that because that makes you feel good, and that's fine. But it's not true, and it has nothing to do with the reality around you. And when the myth falls apart, when the sun comes up and comes streaming in the windows, it's time for you to pack your shit up and go back to doing what you should have been doing all along, which is giving to Democratic causes, giving to Stacey Abrams, supporting Democratic candidates, not mythologizing that there's these reasonable Republicans out there because there aren't. So
fundraise for the ACLU, which is now going to do racial social justice for the next 5, 10, whatever years. Yeah. Thank you, Driftglass. You did very well. You got that done in under 5 minutes. Can I talk about my new hero?
Sure.
I
didn't even mention Tom Nichols, so I'll say Bill Kristol. I'll save that for next week. How's that?
New hero and Democratic rock star Stacey Plaskett of the Virgin Islands wearing that. Fuck you, blue dress, man. I'm telling you.
She was awesome.
That color that she wore. Mm-hmm. And first of all, she was awesome. She's so smart and clearly prepared. Mm-hmm. Excellent lawyer. Excellent prosecutor. Laid it out. Excellent work. And then the color she was wearing is a color that is known in our house as fuck you, blue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of fuck you blue in my closet, folks. That very clear blue color. And, you know, her dress had a cape, which I am not worthy of wearing that. But, when mom wears fuck you blue to church is a big deal. Whoa, look at mom. She's wearing fuck you blue to church. Okay. It says you're a goddamn Democrat. And I appreciated that about her. And I appreciated everything about her. I think she's a rock star and it's going to be a terrific future. I'm looking forward to seeing more of her work.
I did want to mention one thing. I've decreased my mentions of the Bulwark podcast down to one word a day or phrase. The phrase that pays this week is third party. And which is just, I listened to it. It's just a bunch of old David Brooks columns mushed together and turned into a Stroke magazine.
But they had a conference, Driftglass.
They had a conference. It was a summit.
They had a summit and on Zoom.
The only reason I mentioned it is because three different people mentioned it on MSNBC three different times.
So, free advertising for this new reasonable Republican organization.
Which has no – and by the way, if you're interested in more information about it, I have a blog and I wrote up about it, and you should go over there and read that. That'd be great.
It's an Evan McMullen joint. It is.
So you know it's delicious. It's going to go down smooth. And
let's do a news roundup, Drift
West. Let's do that. First of all, I do want to mention that the Republican attempts to impeach Elizabeth Warren are not going well.
No, they're not.
Yeah, and all those times that we Democrats carried stun guns into John Boehner's office.
What a waste.
Yeah, really.
The Bidening continues. Joe Biden did a lot of good stuff this week, including not watching the impeachment because he has a job to do. Instead, he went shopping for vaccines and found, about 200 million of them. And he will not get dragged into fighting over impeachment because he has message discipline.
Yeah, he does. Remember that?
Yep. He was also blunt about the state of the vaccine rollout. His predecessor left a fucking mess and no plan. We're having a problem with the vaccine rollout because of that. And the numbers, once again, 78% of Americans support the $1,400 stimulus checks Biden is calling for, including 90% of Democrats and 64% of Republicans. 68% of Americans support the entire $1.9 trillion stimulus package. Somebody needs to call their House members and senators about minimum wage as well, especially in Arizona. You should be calling your senators, particularly Kristen Sinema, about minimum wage. She doesn't get it.
No.
All right.
Biden rescinded Donald Trump's national emergency declaration over the U.S.-Mexico border.
Yes, and that wall's not going up over the Rio Grande River either, and Mexico is not going to pay for it.
Oh, no. What? That's the only infrastructure we have, Lou Gal. That's the only infrastructure we ever had. And now Biden's taking that away from us? Where will people get jobs putting metal on metal and welding it together? Where, oh, where?
Well, it turns out that I think the Secretary of Transportation has a whole bunch of ideas, a whole bunch of yarn in his stash that he wants to knit into an infrastructure week every week. So let's get to that. Senior Trump Justice Department officials in 2020 repeatedly tried to block a search warrant for Rudy Giuliani's records related to his activities in Ukraine.
Oopsie. And that's why somebody wanted to hang on to power for four more years.
Yeah.
Because now all the shit comes out. Roughly 40% of the coronavirus deaths in the U.S. could have been prevented if the nation's average death rate had simply matched other industrialized nations. The Lancet Commission on Public Policy and Health in the Trump era report faulted Trump's, quote, inept and insufficient response to COVID-19 for that death rate.
But he bought all that hydroxychloroquine.
He did. He did. And there was so much bleach. You know, anybody could get bleach.
You light just bulbs go to the store. Up your butt. Yeah.
Yeah.
66% of Republicans still believe Biden's election was not legitimate, but they will spend his stimulus check.
Georgia prosecutors have opened a criminal investigation into Trump's efforts to overturn the state's 2020 election results.
The CDC recommends double masking to reduce exposure to the coronavirus.
Congressional Democrats are expected to propose providing up to $3,600 per child in families as part of Biden's COVID relief package. It's bipartisan as Romney is on board, and somehow the media is not remembering that Obamacare was his idea too.
Yeah. Somehow they're not remembering that Romney was, you know, the inventor of Obamacare. And
he used to be called Romney Care.
Massachusetts. That was back when he was from Massachusetts. Yeah.
The spare of the unity, Blue Gal, if you keep talking this way.
Well, this was also an idea that, believe it or not, Marco Rubio was pushing years ago, that rather than having a child care tax credit, they would simply give it as money in monthly checks to people with kids.
Yeah.
And rather than to poor parents having them have a tax credit once a year, that they would have money sent to them. And that makes a great deal of sense. But that went nowhere because, you know, his party didn't want to do that. Somebody named Mitch McConnell didn't want to give Obama any victories at all. Okay. By the way, on Thursday of this week, 15 Republican senators chose not to attend the impeachment trial.
This week also, Gina Carano went from Star Wars to Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, she's going to make a movie with Ben Shapiro instead of appearing in the Star Wars franchise because she made Holocaust references on Instagram
and now
that compared herself and her political victimization to Jews during the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And Disney and Lucasfilm didn't think that was a good idea.
Told her, bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. So, but Ben
bye,
Shapiro
Felicia.
And I'm looking forward to that sort of Star Wars Christmas sweater special crossover where Glenn Beck's Christmas sweater is made into a Star Wars holiday special. And you can get a whole bunch of people singing all together about white Jesus. And I'm just looking forward to the whole thing. I'm
I want
sure
Ben Shapiro to sing.
Yeah. Everyone does. Well, yeah. I just have a feeling it sounds a lot like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
But that's unfair.
Time is here again. All right. Congressman Darren LaHood of our area continues to weep and wail about how showing video of the January 6th Republican insurrection, it's messing up the unity, Driftglass.
It's messing up the unity. Why don't Democrats care about unity? They keep showing this film over and over again of our
president's supporters breaking shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Mike. Mike belongs to our longtime listener, Chris. Hi, Chris. And is remarkable. Mike is remarkable at striking a pose. Of course, Mike enjoys freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your pets will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured. Freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. You can visit Mike. He's posing beautifully at our Facebook page and website. And you can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, which is proleftpodcast@gmail.com. And I want to thank Tammy for bailing me out last week. Tammy, yeah. Our angel nerd. I said at one point in our podcast that our email address was proleftpod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And so she heard that and she went out and created a proleftpod@gmail.com email address. And then
she's
she
awesome.
Forwarded it to proleftpodcast@gmail.com right away.
Awesome.
She's just amazing. She was like, oh, she made a mistake. I'll just fix it with using technology. You know,
see, that's the kind of retconning that we need for this podcast.
We appreciate
people who retroactively fix our mistakes so that we're
see,
never
that's
wrong.
The thing. I need that all the time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can write to both of us at proleftpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions. Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. #SaveThePostOffice. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. And it's a labor of love. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media, and thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties would like to go on the record agreeing with Congressman Jamie Raskin. This cannot be our future.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey dovin. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2021 DGBG Productions.